It looked like that evil was about to triumph. Wicked men had lied and plotted and schemed to destroy Jesus. They'd bribed Judas. They'd paid witnesses to tell lies. They had a sham of a trial, and they had backed Pilate into a corner. Pilate had tried to release Jesus. And in fact, he said, you know, we have a custom at this time of year that I would release a prisoner unto you. And he had already taken Jesus and given him to a band of soldiers, and they had whipped him, and he was a bloody mess as he brought him out and stood him before the crowd. He said, I'll release unto you this one called Christ. You can either have him, or I've got this one that committed murder, this man by the name of Barabbas. Which one would I release unto you? And the crowd cried out, stirred up by the chief priest and the rulers of the Jews, cried, well, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. And Pilate said, well, then what should I do with this one called Christ? And this crowd, who a week before had cried out, Hosanna to the King of the Jews, and laid palm branches and their clothes down before him, cried out in answer to Pilate's question, what should I do with Christ? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate brought out a basin of water and symbolically washed his hands, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. So he delivered Jesus to a band of Roman soldiers. They took him out to a hill called Golgotha, and they crucified him. A man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, who we read about here in the book of Matthew, and a man by the name of Nicodemus, who we read about in the book of John, came to Pilate, and the Bible says, begged the body of Christ. Pilate checked with the centurion to make sure he was dead already, and when he knew that he was dead, said, yeah, you guys can have him, go ahead. And so Joseph and Nicodemus took him down from the cross. They wrapped him in burial clothes, as was the custom back then, along with spices, and they laid him in the tomb. But there was one more detail that needed to be taken care of. The Bible says that the next day, the chief priest and the Pharisees came to Pilate, and they said, hey, we remember when this man was alive that he said on the third day he would rise again. Now, we don't think he can do that. We don't think there's any way that he can come back from the dead. But his disciples may go out to the tomb. They may steal his body out of the tomb. And they may start telling people that he's risen from the dead. We can't have this happen. So what we would like is we would like for you to give us a guard so that we could post a guard of Roman soldiers around the tomb to make sure that this doesn't happen. And Pilate said, okay, you can have your watch. And by the way, let me remind you, when a Roman soldier was charged with guarding something, if that something was taken, or if that something got away, those Roman soldiers were required to give their life in place of the prisoner. Same thing would be true in this case. Even though they were guarding a dead man, if something happened to that body, those soldiers would be required to pay with their life. So they were very motivated to make sure that nobody got into the tomb and stole the body of Christ. And so Pilate said, okay, you can have your watch, go your way. And then he added a phrase that if you read it and think about it, you have to think, boy, why would he say something like this? Why would this governor, this ruler of the Romans, who just assigned a Roman guard to the tomb of Christ, why would he say, make it as sure as you can? Make it as sure as you can. I see three things in this statement that I want to share with you this morning. three things that maybe Pilate realized that when he made this statement, make it as sure as you can. Number one, as Pilate made that statement, I see that he saw something special about Jesus. I don't think he had enough faith where he got saved, but he saw something special in this man called Christ. He said, as Jesus stood before him, this man isn't like other men. He said, as he talked to him and examined him, I find no fault in this just man. He said, again, as the crowd pushed him to crucify Christ, he said, he's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing that would justify death. Pilate saw something special about Jesus. The people who walked the face of the earth when Jesus walked the face of the earth, the people who heard him teach and preach, saw something special in Jesus as well. They said, he teaches with authority and not as the scribes. He doesn't teach like other men. He has an authority given to him by somebody, and when he teaches, you just know that it's the truth. On another occasion, they said, never man spake like this man. Those that heard him teach and preach says there's something special about Jesus. The centurion, the one that was in charge of 100 Roman soldiers that supervised the crucifixion. He was the one that watched as they nailed Jesus to the cross. He was the one that watched as he suffered as he hung there on the cross. He was the one that was close enough to listen as he spoke. And after it was all over, this centurion, this Roman leader of soldiers said, truly this man was the Son of God. I want to remind you this morning, there's something special about Jesus. He was not just a man. Jesus was the God-man. He was altogether God, and he was altogether man. And there's some people that have a hard time grasping that truth. There's some people that have a hard time understanding how Jesus could be both God and man. Well, let me ask you a series of questions. If he wasn't a man, who was it that was that little baby that lay in the manger of Bethlehem? And if he wasn't God, then whom did the angels say about, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord? If he wasn't a man, who was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist? And if he wasn't God, who was it that the heavens opened and a dove came down and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? If he wasn't a man, to whom did the leper bow down and say, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean? And if he wasn't God, who said, I will, be thou clean, and made the leprosy go away? If he wasn't man, who touched the hand of Peter's mother-in-law? And if he wasn't God, who made the fever go away? If he wasn't man, who fell asleep in the back of the ship? And if he wasn't God, who got up and said, peace be still, and saw the storm calmed? If he wasn't man, who stayed up all night on the mountain and prayed? And if he wasn't God, who walked on water to help the disciples in the middle of the storm? If he wasn't a man, who stooped down and wrote in the sand? And if he wasn't God, who was it that looked up and said to the lady caught in adultery, where are their accusers? And he says, there are none. And she said, there are none. And then he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. If he wasn't man, who did they laugh at when he said, this little girl is not dead, she's just asleep? And if he wasn't God, who took that little girl by the hand and said, rise up, and raised her from the dead? If he wasn't man, who stood all day and taught the multitudes? And if he wasn't God, who took the five small loaves of bread and the two small fishes and fed the 5,000 men, plus the women and the children? If he wasn't man, who was it that wept at Lazarus' grave? And if he wasn't God, who stood in that graveyard and said, Lazarus, come forth? And Lazarus came hopping out of that grave alive after 4 days being dead. If he wasn't man, who sweat great drops of blood in Gethsemane? And if he wasn't God, who prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If he wasn't man, who said from the cross, I thirst. And if he wasn't God, who said to the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. If he wasn't man, who cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if he wasn't God, who said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. If he wasn't man, whose body did they lay in the tomb? And if he wasn't God, who was it that 3 days later rose triumphantly, defeating death? Pilate said, yeah, you can have your watch. Make it as sure as you can, because there's something special about this one called Christ. The second thing I see that Pilate, I think, saw was how powerless men were. How powerless mankind was in comparison to this God-man. You see, God has been challenged from the very beginning. Satan said, I'll set where God sets. I'll set on his throne. I'll rise up and I'll be in God's spot and I'll rule what God rules. Eve said, you mean if I eat this fruit, I'll be as wise as God? I'll know everything that God knows. I'll know the difference between right and wrong, and I can make my own decisions as to what's right and wrong. If I eat the fruit, I'll know all that. The people in Genesis chapter 11 said, we'll build a tower to heaven. We won't depend on God to take care of us. We'll take charge of our own destiny. We'll take charge of our own fate. We'll take these brick and mortar, and we'll build a tower there. We'll reach into heaven. Man, down through time, has thought that he could shake his fist in God's face and do things his own way. And have failed to realize how powerless we are compared to God. God said to Satan when he said, I'll set where you set. God says, I'll cast you out of heaven. And one day I'll cast you into hell forever and ever and ever. God said to Adam and Eve, you've sinned, you've disobeyed me. The penalty for that sin is to be separated from me. And I got to kick you out of the garden. I'll paint you a picture of what I'm going to do someday by killing the innocent animals and covering your nakedness with their skins. But the penalty for sin is to be separate from me. You can't disobey me. You can't sin and get by with it. He said to those in Genesis chapter 11, your plan to get to heaven won't work. You can't get to heaven your way. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And mankind today needs to realize that in comparison to God, we have no power at all. Go ahead, Pilate. Assign the watch to the grave. Go ahead, put a centurion in charge of it and let him have his 100 soldiers and spread them around the grave. Go ahead and do better than that. Take a legionnaire. Have him take 1,000 soldiers and surround the grave again and again and again. In fact, go ahead, bring the whole Roman army and put it around this tomb. Nobody is going to keep Jesus where Jesus doesn't want to be. And nobody's going to keep God from fulfilling his plan. No puny man is going to shake his fist in the face of Almighty God and tell God what's going to happen. Go ahead, make it as sure as you can. Put the watch, put the guard. If Jesus wants out of the tomb, he's going to get out of the tomb. And then number three, I see the power of God. And again, I don't know how much Pilate saw. I don't think he's in heaven. I don't think he got saved. There's no record of that in the Bible. But I think when he made this statement, here's your watch. Make it as sure as you can. He saw there was something special about this one called Christ. He knew that as man, they were powerless. And I think he got a glimpse of how powerful God was. You see, God has the power to bring good from evil. Evil men thought by crucifying Christ that they were foiling the plan of God. They were fulfilling it. They said, oh, yeah, if we could kill Jesus, if we could put him in this tomb, then this plan, this grand plan that God had won't work. It'll be all over. Little did they know that they were helping God bring redemption to man, because without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to die there. He had to suffer our hell for us. That was the plan of God. And these stupid guys that thought they could foil the plan of God were actually helping him. We see it over and over again in the Bible. Joseph's brothers got jealous. They sold him into slavery. They told their dad, oh yeah, Joseph got killed by this wild animal. Look, here's his coat that you made him. It's all soaked with blood. He's dead. And yet, years later, that same Joseph stood before Pharaoh's side and helped save his people from a worldwide famine. God has the power to bring good from evil. Moses was a murderer. He told God, get somebody else to lead your people out of Egypt. I don't want to do it. And yet God said, no, you're the one. And years later, that same Moses was obedient to God and led his people out of Egypt. God knows how to bring good out of evil. David was a murderer and an adulterer, turned his back on everything that he knew was godly, and yet God used him to lead his people. He knows how to bring good out of evil. Paul persecuted Christians. He stood there while Stephen was stoned, and yet God used him as a preacher and as a teacher and as a missionary, one to write over half the New Testament. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't know how much you have messed up your life. I do not know what kind of sin that you're into, but I do know one thing. Jesus can wash the evil from your life. He can wash the sin from your life, and he can make you clean. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And our God, my God, has the power to bring good out of evil. God has the power to bring hope from despair. You ever think about how the disciples felt that night after the crucifixion? Their leader was dead. The one they thought was going to change the world. The one they thought that was going to set up the kingdom of God on earth and rule on earth. He was dead. He was lying in a grave. They were so discouraged that they got together and Peter said, hey, there's nothing else for me to do here. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to the way of life I knew before I met Jesus. This is all over. Nothing else is going to happen. It's done. And some of the other disciples said, well, Peter, we might as well go with you. We'll just go with you. They were hopeless. They were mournful. They were discouraged. They were distraught. Their leader had been killed, and now he was laying in a grave. They thought, forever. And yet, you turn a few chapters later in the Bible, and this is a group of men that turned the world upside down. That's what was said about them. They came into our city. These are the guys that are turning the world upside down. Peter preached one sermon. 3,000 people got saved and baptized from that one sermon. A few days later, he and John were in the temple and they healed a man. And a crowd gathered around him and Peter preached again. And 4,000 people got saved and baptized. What made the difference? What turned despair into hope? What turned despairing into enthusiasm? What turned quitting into a lifetime commitment? All these men died as martyrs, except John. We read that John was dipped in boiling oil and his skin literally burned off his body. And then he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, where he got a vision and wrote the book of Revelation. What turned him from a group of men who were so discouraged that says, I quit, there's nothing else to be done, Jesus is dead, it's all over, into a group of men that gave their life for a cause that goes on today, for a cause that lifts up a risen Savior? What made the difference? I'll tell you what made the difference. The empty tomb, a risen Christ. He's the one that makes the difference. He can still turn hopelessness into hope. He can turn despair into hope. And again, I don't know what your problems are this morning. I know some of them, but I don't know all of them. I don't know the heartaches that you have in your life. I don't know how many counts there are against you. I don't know how many enemies you have or how many burdens you bear, but I know this. There's still hope in a risen Christ. There's still hope because of an empty tomb. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God has the power. He has the power. Again, I don't think Pilate saw enough to get saved, but he said, go ahead and make it as sure as you can, because the power of God can't be stopped. The power of God can bring life out of death. You see, even though those Roman guards were there, even though Satan was there, even all the demons of hell were gathered around that tomb, there was nothing that they could do to keep our Savior in the grave. 3 days, 3 nights. Just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, our Savior was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. And then, up from the grave, he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. When Jesus hung on Calvary, God put on him all of our sins. And when he suffered separation from God, when he cried out in those hours of darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He paid the price that we owe. He died. They laid him in that tomb. But then he proved himself more powerful than Satan, more powerful than sin, more powerful than death by rising that first Easter Sunday morning. God has the power to bring life from death. We have one who has gone before us. He's gone into death, and then he's come back, and he said, hey, come on, if you'll let me, I'll take you with me, and I'll show you that there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I read a story about General Patton. He was a general in World War II, a fiery man. And the story, true story, he came with his troops up to a river somewhere in Europe that they had to cross to get where they needed to go to fight the next battle. And the river was swollen, and there were chunks of ice floating down the river, and there was no bridge. There was no way to get across it. They had to swim. And so Patton looked at his men, and he could tell that they were scared. They were fearful. They were afraid that some of them weren't going to make it across. And so this general took his outer coat off, took off his boots, plunged into the water, swam across. He got on the other side, stood on the shore, walked back and forth for a few minutes just so everybody could see him. All the men in his army could see that he had made it across the river. And then the story goes, he jumped back in and went back to the other side. he said to his men, you can make it. I've gone and come back to show you that you can. And the story goes that every single one of the men that were under his command crossed the river that day without harm. We have one that says to us this morning, don't be afraid of death. Yeah, it's appointed unto man once to die, but I've gone and I've come back and I got a message for you. You can make it. I'll help you. I'll take you. I've been there. I know what it's all about. And I can take death and I can turn it into life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never perish, never die. I did the graveside service at the funeral for a dear old cousin, and I used the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Every single one of us one day is going to face death. You can face it alone and end up in hell, or you can have somebody by your side that if you'll trust will take you to heaven. Have you done that this morning? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? If not, you need to make sure today. You just need to come and say, I'm a sinner. I understand, preacher, that the penalty for that sin is death. And I believe that Jesus died to pay my price. And today I'm asking him to save me. That's all it takes. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that even this old wicked Roman ruler saw something special in Christ. Make it as sure as you can, because he had a feeling that Jesus wasn't going to stay in the tomb. Father, I pray for us this morning. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know that risen Savior, that today they would come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here that are discouraged, that want to quit, that have lost their hope. I pray, Father, you give them a fresh glimpse of the risen Savior. Just bless this invitation. Again, if there's people here that need to ask Christ to be their Savior, help them to come. If there's people here that need to be baptized, help them come. If there's people here that need to join the church because you've led them to join the church, help them come. And we'll be sure when we get done to look to heaven, we'll look to heaven and we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.